Welcome to The Fountain, where it's our desire to connect with God, to grow in Jesus, and to engage the world in His name. As you listen to this message, we pray that you allow God to speak to your heart, and that His words might motivate you to life change. Come to The Fountain, a place where you belong.
And many of you know, I stepped away to go to Ohio. I'm part of Buckeye Nation. Yes, that's right. But anyways, that's not the reason I went. I went to be with my family. My dad in his last hours of life on this earth. And it was a blessing to be with family. It was a blessing to be there in his last hours. And I thank God for it. I do. And I'm not worried about him. Not worried about him. I'm not worried about all the things that will need to take place with my stepmom and family. God's got her. God's got this. Not worried about that at all. But what I do want to say is I want to say thank you, Fountain Church, for your love, your support, your care, all the messages and the prayers that went up. Believe me, I felt them. I felt them and walked strongly, walked sturdy, walked confident, walked bold, because I was undergirded with the prayers of family of God. That's what we are for each other. And you know what? People who go through this, that don't have community, they don't have that, it's much harder, much harder. And though I grieve, and I will continue to grieve, I don't grieve for my dad. I grieve because there's something missing for a while, but it will turn into joy. It will turn into treasures. It will turn into these pieces in my life that I will hold on to for the rest of my life. And I got a call yesterday. We got in about 12:30 in the afternoon yesterday, getting ready after our fiasco. If you read Facebook, my wife put it on Facebook, about our fiasco trying to find a hotel the night before. We're supposed to drive halfway. We ended up driving all the way to Knoxville because they lost our reservation. So we drove over an hour longer at night, got to bed about 12:45 in the morning. But that was okay. We only paid half price for the hotel. So that was good. Blessings from God. Come on. But I got home in the afternoon, and I reached out. People on Facebook, just people on my text, on my voicemail. It was just so, I felt like I had a big hug, honestly. Felt like I had a big hug. But what brought it to realization was, and why we do what we do, why we do what God's called us to do, and why these things that we're closing today about these hurdles that are getting away from our obedience to God. Ted Cicerone called me yesterday when we got home, and he said, "Pastor Mike, hey, I'm so sorry, but I just wanted you to know that we support you, and we want to reach out to you, and you do so much for everybody. It's time for you to be lifted up. It's time for you to be supported." But that's not the reason I do it, so I will be. I do it because it's obedience to God, because He calls us to, right? And we do that for each other. That's the family of God. It's just not about biological blood family. We are bought with the price of the blood of Jesus, and it makes us family, right? We are. So I'm not worried for my dad, but rejoice that he's not suffering, that he's not fighting or in pain anymore, because it was very painful for him in the last few hours. And also that he is breathing without an oxygen concentrator, that he's without insulin, that he's without medications for congestive heart failure and for AFib, and he's without Lasix because he is perfect now in the sight of God. I'm not worried about my stepmom. She will adjust, get by, or even in her times of loneliness, she will be provided for. God's got her. And with family and friends around and community, we all have each other. So today, we complete a message series called Clearing the Hurdles. The last hurdle we'll consider today is that of worry. Nobody knows anything about that, do you? Raise your hand if you don't know anything about worry, right? Because that's not true at all. It hinders and gets in the way of our obedience to God. Worry takes our minds away from godly things. It even can paralyze us from acting in the obedience that we know that we're supposed to. It paralyzes us, not just mentally, but for some of us, it has paralyzed us physically, that we can't move, that we can't act, that we can't go. And most of the time, according to Scripture and experience, it seems that we worry for nothing. We worry, I like that word, not. We worry for not. But there's seven reasons for us not to worry. Several reasons, I mean. It almost as though we search for problems, though, and it adds to our anxiety. It's almost like we always look at the glass half empty. It's like, well, what if this happens? Well, what if that happens? Well, I can't do that because this might happen. But let's take a look at these statistics. 40% of all things that we worry about never come to pass. 40%. 30% of all our worries involve past decisions that cannot be changed. 12% focus on criticism from others who spoke because they felt inferior. And 10% are related to our health, which when you think about it, our health gets much worse when we worry. For several years, a woman had been having trouble getting to sleep at night because she feared burglars might break into the house. One night, her husband heard a noise in the house, so he went downstairs to investigate. When he got there, he did find a burglar. He said, "Good evening. I am pleased to see you. Come upstairs and meet my wife. She has been waiting 10 years to meet you." How many of you have participated in a layaway plan before? You put something on layaway and make payments on it. Okay, now put your hand down. Now raise your hand now, and I imagine it's going to be much more. How many of you participated in the layawake plan, where you've laid awake at night worrying and considering things that may not ever happen? Many of us, and probably all of us, have been there. Worry is derived from an old English word called rang, which means to strangle. That is a perfect way to communicate the effect of a worrisome perspective. It strangles us. It strangles our thoughts. It strangles our heart. It strangles our emotions. It strangles our obedience. It strangles us from acting. It's almost like it puts us in chains that we can't do anything. We can't move forward because we've allowed it to encompass us. Worry chokes and constricts the life out of us like a boa constrictor. It wraps itself around, squeezing and suffocating. But we need to get a grip and catch a breath and change the channel, because worry is a life waster and strangles you spiritually, mentally, emotionally, and physically. And when we allow something like that to affect our being, then our being isn't focused on God and worshiping Him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, because worry has taken that place of that. 8% of our worries could be described as legitimate causes for concern. Fewer than one problem in every 10 that we worry about is a real concern. All the others are things that we can learn to see differently or eliminate. God does not wish for us to spend our days worrying. Not about the future, not about money, or not about need. He will provide for all those who have trusted and believed in Him. Worry has been defined as this: a small trickle of fear that meanders through the mind until it cuts a channel into which all other thoughts are drained. Once we have it, we've allowed it to cut a trench in our mind so that everything else is weighed with the worry. Okay, should I worry about that? Oh, wait, what could happen if I think about it? Instead of like letting it go. You know, Micah just came up here. Bless his little soul. He just came up here while we're in the middle of worship, and he came up, and he had no inhibitions about it. He just came up and he hugged me and said, "Happy Sunday, Pastor Mike." And he's not worried about too much, if anything at all, right? Our main text today comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 6. And you'll see some of the scriptures up, and you can follow along with your iPhone or if you've got your Bible, open up to Matthew chapter 6. But we're gonna hear what Jesus has to say about worry. The same God who created life in you can be trusted with the details of that life. In Matthew 6:25, it says, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes?" And absolutely, we would agree with that, but then our lives don't reflect that sometimes. We are the most valuable of God's creation. Scripture tells us that from the beginning, we are the most valued. You have something valuable, right? What do? You take care of it. You protect it. You shine it. You put it in something that won't get broken. You have a nice vase or a nice knickknack or whatever you want to call it, you put it in a curio cabinet behind glass so you can see it but you can't touch it. You know, you don't take it out too often because you don't want to break it. The things that you value, you take care of. We are the most valued of God's creation. He takes care of those he values. But our lives don't reflect that we believe that sometimes. In all that we face in this world, we can trust God, even in the bad times. And we all have those. But we must make the choice to let go of our worries and trust him. It's a choice, people. Church, it's a choice. Like you choose to get up in the morning, like you choose what you're going to wear. It's a choice not to worry. Matt Redman wrote a song that we used to sing a long time ago, but I love the song. It's one of my favorites. And I still sing it on my own sometimes. It's called Blessed Be Your Name. Blessed be your name when the sun's shining down on me. When the world's all as it should be, blessed be your name. But you see, that's easy. Blessed be your name on the road marked with suffering. Though there's pain in the offering, blessed be your name. You give and take away. You give and take away. My heart will choose to say, Lord, blessed be your name. And you know, if for nothing else I get out of these two churches coming together, and we're the fountain. We're not Trinity and we're not Impact. We're the fountain. But if there's one, if this is all God gave me for this, and I know it's not, he gave me much more, but to know Barry Pallison was worth this. Because Barry Pallison's life reflected these words. When it says, on the road marked with suffering, though there's pain in the offering, I will choose, and Barry chose, to praise his name, to bless his name. A lot was taken from Barry, his feet, his legs, his kidney, but he chose to bless the name's Lord, bless the name of the Lord, even when his life was given up. When he breathed his last, he was blessing the name of the Lord. I'm going to stop teaching right now. I'm going to start preaching for a second. Susan spoke in our prayer time here this morning at communion that it felt like that even though life was squeezing Barry, when life did squeeze Barry, what came out was Jesus. A lot of times when life squeezes you and me, what comes out? Oh, I can't believe that's happening to me. Oh, Lord, well, I'm a good person. Why, Lord, do I have to experience this? Oh, I don't think I have enough money to give to the church because I've got all this over here. And Lord, what am I going to do? So when life squeezes you and me, what do we do? Do we bellyache? Do we complain? Or when life squeezes, did Jesus come out? Does you keep praising the Lord? Thank you, Lord. I've got to go through this and it hurts, Lord. I'm looking for your sustenance, Lord. I'm looking for you to sustain me, Lord. I'm looking for you to hold me up at the table. You prepare a table in the midst of my enemies, before my enemies. But God, you'll sustain me in the midst of my enemies. And when you rise up, Lord, rise up in me. So when life squeezes, I just want them to know that Jesus is my Lord. I just want them to know that Jesus is the reason that I live on this earth. No, nothing can take away this body because it's temporary. Nothing can take it. This body is not forever. But what's inside is eternal. And so when you squeeze, come on, Lord. Come on, world, squeeze me. Because I'm going to profess even more how great the Lord is. How blessed I am to know a Savior. And that's who Barry Pallison was. So I encourage you to come. And if you've got the time or can rearrange something, come and let's celebrate his life tomorrow night at 6 o'clock. Worrying about the future hinders your efforts today. Matthew 6:26. Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. And you are not much more valuable than they? One of my favorite things to do when I go to my dad's place is they've got all these bird feeders. They've got hundreds and hundreds of birds out there, and I love the birds. But for the last 6 weeks, you know, they have to put the bird feeders up, and then they have to take them down at night because the raccoons and the possums, and they climb up the pole. And we put electric on the pole, and they still get up there, and they take down the feeders, and they eat stuff in it. So we have taken down. But so they hadn't been up for like 6 weeks because my stepmom can't do all that by herself. I've been back and forth in the hospital with my dad. So I got there, and I said, I'm putting them up because I want to see the birds. Now, Charlie calls me old man because of that, because I like to go sit and watch the birds. And that's probably what I'll be doing, you know, in a retirement home or something, is watching the birds. But I love to see all the different kinds of birds coming. And I sit by the window at the sun porch, and I see the big old woodpeckers and the finches and the hummingbirds and the crows and the bluebirds and the cardinals. And there's just so many. But you think about, God provides without me putting seed out there and all the things that they like, they're still provided for if I never did that. They know where their provision comes from, so they don't worry. And yet we, the most valued of creation, we worry about where it's coming from. What we need to consider is that, hey, my family's got my back. And I'm not just talking biological, I'm talking about my church family. God says He provides for those who He loves and who loves Him and are called according to His purpose. He will provide. He will take care of. We have to never fear about that. Worrying is more harmful than helpful. Matthew 6:27, who of you by worrying can add a single hour to your life? It's like I'm going to gain something by worrying. It's like, oh, I'm worrying, so God's going to give me an extra hour. I don't know about you, but I don't want an extra hour. If it means going home to Jesus, if it means eternity, then take more hours. You know what I'm saying? I think that's the way my dad felt, honestly, the last 6 weeks. It's like, I don't need to worry about anything. The Lord can come get me when He's ready. I think he was saying, Lord, why aren't you ready? I'm ready. You ever been with anybody like that? I have. It's like, I don't understand why the Lord hasn't come and got me yet. Death was walking toward a city, and a man stopped Death and asked, what are you going to do? I'm going to kill 10,000 people today, Death said. The man ran ahead to the city. He warned everybody he passed that death was coming and what he was going to do. At the end of the day, he again met death. He said, you said you were only going to kill 10,000 people, and now 70,000 people are dead. Death said, I killed only 10,000. Worry and fear killed the others. Worry takes it out of us, y'all. It takes away our life, the life that we committed to the Lord and said, do what you want with. So some of us end our lives sooner than the Lord had intended them to be lost. And we do that by worrying. God does not ignore those who depend on Him. Matthew 6:28-30. And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown on the fire, will He not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? My dad loved flowers. Matter of fact, when their whole property, that's why it's going to be really hard for my stepmom to take care of his property, because there's flowers and plants and gardens everywhere. We spent 3 solid days just trimming and pulling weeds when I first got there, but it was great. My dad loved flowers, and he always told my stepmom, his wife, he said, when she would go buy plants, annuals to put out, he said, don't buy the ones that don't have flowers blooming. Buy the ones that are already bloomed. We want to see color. And that's the way he was, but it's beauty. And God looks at us and He sees beauty. And He clothes us with His beauty. Not what we think we should look like, but what He thinks we should look like. We may worry about things, but we have a lot to be thankful for. If you have food in the refrigerator, clothes on your back, a roof over your head, and a place to sleep, you're richer than 75% of the world. If you have money in the bank, in your wallet, and spare change in a dish someplace, you are among the top 8% in the world's wealthy. If you woke up this morning with more health than illness, you are more blessed than a million who will not survive this week. If you have never experienced the danger of battle, the loneliness of imprisonment, the agony of torture, or the pangs of starvation, you are ahead of 500 million people in the world. If you can attend church meetings without fear of harassment, arrest, torture, or death, you are more blessed than 3 billion people in the world. And if your parents are still alive and still married, you are very rare, even in the United States. We have so much to be thankful for. We've been given so much, yet we worry so much. Worry shows a lack of faith and understanding of God. Matthew 6, 31 and 32. So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all of these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. When it comes to a faith conquering our worrying, we need to have a childlike faith. A child does not worry about much. We got some children in here, I think we do. Children, stand up. If you're a child and you're in here, if you're in the preschool's over here. If you're first through fifth grade, stand up. Or even if you're a teenager, stand up. Stand up. Everybody stand up. If you're that. Now, I know as teenagers, you know, they start worrying more. But children, now teenagers, sit down. Leave the children up. We got a few children in here, but I would gather to say that y'all don't worry about much. Do y'all worry about very much? You worry about very much? You have anything you worry about? No. She's shaking her head. No, I don't worry. Y'all worry back there? No, don't look behind you. You're back there. Look at me and say, no, I don't worry. Okay, you may sit down. They don't worry about very much because they have faith in the family that's taking care of them. You know, when they start worrying is when they see their parents worry. You know how teenagers learn it? From their parents. From those who are raised them, because we kind of do that in front of them. And we need to have more conversations. It's not that you have to be perfect. You don't. You're gonna have those times when you will worry, but let's sit and talk about them with our children. It's like, hey, I just want you to know that I trust in the Lord and I am doing my best in this. And together, we're going to not worry so much because God's got this. Christians should trust God to supply what is best for them. A few weeks ago, our air conditioner went out. And we had been biding time, and it was time. It went out, and we, you know, they always say, always replace something when it's still working. Well, I was warned that, and I didn't heed the warning. And it went out. It was dead. And so we ran to friends who had window units. And we put them in our house, and a friend at Charlotte's work had this stand-up unit. So we were heating a couple rooms, and the restrooms had to stay hot. The rest of the rooms, not the rest. Well, the restrooms were hot, too. And so... So we're just thinking, it's like, okay, I got to figure this out. And, you know, I'm going to be transparent, and I don't say these things that you can look at Pastor Mike and say, well, oh, poor Pastor Mike, because I'm not poor. Believe me. I have blessings, and I have friends, and God provides. I'm not poor. But I tell you this because we're looking at, you know, we start paying on my older son's student loans here this month. And if any of you have paid on student loans, when I was in school paying on student loans, wasn't hard. Now it's just so unproportionate. It's incredible. So we started, I said, oh my goodness, I wasn't expecting that. Even though I've been warned about it, I wasn't expecting that. And so, you know, I'm not too worried about it. It's like, it'll happen. God will provide. You know, I look at the finances. I'll be able to, I think once I pay off these two medical bills, we'll be okay. Da, 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 da. I'm, you know, I figure it. I'm a thinker. And then when you think too much, you can start worrying about it. So you have to, as you think, you got to say, Lord, I know you got an answer. Lord, this is what I'm seeing. It doesn't work. But Lord, I know you have an answer. And for about a week and a half, we went that way. But, you know, someone prayed the prayer here one Thursday night. God, provide someone to pay for the air conditioner for Pastor Mike and Miss Charla and their family. 2 days later, it was done. And I don't say that to lift up me. I say that because a lot of times we worry about too many things that God will take care of. And really what it's about is like, I don't want to stay in this too long, Lord. Like, Lord, my air conditioner went out today. Can you make it happen tomorrow? Or can you make it happen like while I'm still standing here beside my dead air conditioner? That's what we're really praying. But God's timing, as someone said it this morning to me, you see, God's timing is perfect. God's timing and His will is right. And God has something to teach us through every moment and every experience. And in that moment, it's like, you know, we're thankful we have a house. We're thankful we have a roof over our head. We have a place to sleep, a bed to sleep in. It's a little warm, but hey, a fan's good. I grew up with a fan, no air conditioning. I can do it again. You know, not for very long, thank the Lord. Not in Georgia. I was in Ohio then. So I'm thankful that the Lord provided. And you know what else? Yeah, and they're sitting, and I just praise God because it's a testimony that John and June went to Israel 3 months ago. Is that what it is? 3 months ago? They didn't have all the money that they needed when they went to Israel. They were going on faith that the Lord, they felt that the Lord called them for a purpose. And even the purpose was realized when they got there. God provided for every place to stay, every meal to eat, every transportation. He provided what was needed for them to do that trip and provided them to come home, which I'm glad they are. Glad that they're home. And they bless the Lord every day because of their provision. But you know what was great about it? It was, and the greatest part about it was before they left, they didn't worry about it. Because the Lord would provide. And you know what? If you're like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, where they said, even if the Lord doesn't rescue us, we're still not going to bow down to you. You know, His plan, His purpose is true. If He chooses to take us right now, then so be it. Worrying keeps you from focusing on what God wants for you to pursue. Matthew 6:33, but seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. There are two kinds of people in the world, the can-dos and the will-dos. Everyone can do something, but not everyone is willing to persevere, sacrifice, and be a will-do-something person. Stop worrying about what you think you can do and focus on what you will do. When we focus on others' needs and issues, we sometimes find that our own needs become less significant. Sometimes we even find that they weren't issues at all. Many of us say we can do this or that. Today needs to be the day when you say, I will do this or that. There are things here to get involved in which reach out to our community. Family Promise, Food Pantry, Feed the Homeless, Help My Neighbor. Lots of things to be involved in. But will you be involved in them? Living one day at a time keeps us from being consumed by worry. A lot of us think further out. It's like, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? What am I going to do? And it's not wrong to prepare, the Lord says. But when we worry about what hasn't happened yet, then we can't focus on what God's doing today. Matthew 6:34. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. It does. You know that. It has enough. When I get up in the morning, the devil's at your doorstep ready to wreak havoc. You got enough to deal with. Don't worry about what he's going to bring tomorrow. It's like, I'm going to battle him today. I'm going to do whatever I can to praise the Lord, bless his name. The devil will find his way out because he doesn't belong here. It's no good to worry about tomorrow. We may not have tomorrow. If you're worrying about the problems of tomorrow, you will miss out on the blessings of today. Worry is unreasonable, worry is unnatural, worry is unhelpful, and worry is unnecessary. So how can I break the worry habit? First, trust God in every area of your life. The scripture in verse 32 said, He already knows what we need, and He'll provide them for us as He sees fit. We just got to get on board with His way and His will. And we know the scripture, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, but I want to read a little further than that. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean on not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit them to Him, and He will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. And second, live one day at a time. Don't be anxious about tomorrow. Think about today, the people that you have to come in contact with, the experience that God is providing for you, the opportunities to tell someone about Jesus, whether by word or by deed, and let the Lord take care of you. I came across this the other day. It's called The Bridge You'll Never Cross. Fret not, faint not, fear not. Why? Fret not because he loves you. John 13:1. It was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. He loves us and he will love us to the end. Faint not because he holds you. Psalm 139. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. Trust in his promises. Fear not. Why? Because he keeps you. Psalm 121, the Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade, is the shade of your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going both now and forevermore. We have to trust in his promises. We have to pray, church. Because some of us are prone, and those are hard habits to break. Those are hurdles in our way that we can't always just like, okay, I've got the hurdle, and tomorrow I don't have the hurdle. Some of us, it's a process, but prayer. Philippians 4:6 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, and get this, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. With thanksgiving. Don't forget what he's done for you. Don't forget the promises that he's already made come true in your life. We have a tendency to forget that. We have this short-term memory. We get amnesia when it comes to that sometimes. One of the best ways I know to remember how to commit things to God is prayer by remembering three circles. And maybe you can write this down. One is the worry circle in which I keep nothing. Second is the prayer circle in which I keep everything. Third is the gratitude circle in which I keep anything. So when I pray, I am anxious for nothing, prayerful for everything, and thankful for anything. You just need to write out every one of your concerns before they turn into worries and commit them to God. He does care about each one of them. He cares about what you care about, but not to the gravity that we care about him. Because he's bigger than we are. He's greater than we are. He's more powerful than we are. And he is always with us. He's got you. I want to close with this. While stranded on a desert island, Daniel Defoe's character, Robin Crusoe, salvaged the Bible from the shipwreck, read it, and was converted. He grew into a devout Christian. His life, though missing human companionship, was peaceful and prayerful. But one day he found a footprint in the sand and realized he wasn't alone. Knowing the cannibalism of the local tribes, he grew into a fearful man, looking over his shoulder with every step. He no longer slept peacefully. He altered his habits. He visualized himself being captured and devoured. The former confidence in God now vanished That former confidence in God now vanished as if he that had fed me by miracle since could not preserve by his power, the provision which he had made for me by his goodness. Crusoe had to go back to his Bible, repent of anxiety, and be strengthened again in faith. He eventually learned the great lesson of faltering Christians. The things we most fear are likely, in the providence of God, to be most used for our good. In the end, those footprints that he saw led to his deliverance. A lot of times, church, the trial that is in our life, and even some of the suffering, is not all because of the devil. Sometimes it's what God allows in our life to grow us. And we get fearful about, well, what if this happens? Well, what if that happens? But the trouble, and I said this a couple weeks ago, sometimes the trouble that we're in, the trial that we're in, instead of asking God to change it, ask God to change you in it. Because he might use that present circumstance to change you into who he wants you to be. And who does he want us to be most like? Jesus, his son. And he knows his son intimately. God has planned out our future from eternity past and guaranteed it with his promises. We can trust him. The question that you have to ask yourself is, will you? One of the most effective ways that I find to relieve worry in my life from anxiety, and believe me, I'm not perfect at it, is to remember what God has done in my life and allowed in my life, be thankful and give Him praise, to rejoice in all that He has promised and come through on, a complete session of praise and rejoicing. That allows me not to focus on me, but focus on what He is leading me to do. Remember, obedience is what honors God the most. Doing what He asks shows that we believe His way is best and secures His lordship in our life. Because when we do what He's asked us to do, in spite of our fears, in spite of our worries, we are trusting in Him. And He will sustain us through that. And we secure. It's like, yes, I see that. You have made me Lord in your life because you went through this even though you were a little worried, even though you were a little fearful. You did it anyway. Thank you. That's what I wanted. So we said one of the ways to relieve that is to rejoice. To rejoice in the Lord for all He's done for you. To rejoice in the Lord for all that He said to you in His word. And His promises are true. And rejoice in all He's allowed you to walk in, whether by joy or trial, suffering or happiness. He's allowed us all. That's all part of the abundant life. So He's given us so very much. And He asks, honestly, in the grand scheme of things, He asks so very little back from us. So very little. But we have a choice to make. Will you trust Him? I want to show you a video right now as we take up our offering. And the ushers will come to receive that. But it's about rejoicing. No matter what's going on in the world, take a break from it. Take a moment and rejoice in all that He has given you. And you'll find that your perspective changes. Not that we won't be back there again at some point. But for a moment, thank you, Lord, for that. I want to have a word of prayer. Watch this video and the ushers are going to receive the offering. God, thank You for today. Your blessing, Your grace, Your mercy, Your provision, Your presence, and Your Son. And God, You gave up everything for us. And yet we still worry about things. Help us not to worry, God. Let us trust in You. Let us rejoice because You are worthy of rejoicing of this life that You've blessed us with, God. You've given us something. You've given us the breath that we breathe. So we lift up Your name. You are great, Lord. We ask Your blessing. You don't require very much from us, Lord. But I pray that we'll give You our all. And while giving it, we give You all our heart with it and joy. So bless this offering, Father, to Your glory and this ministry that You've called us to at the fountain, that we may be faithful, we may be good stewards, Father, and we may give abundantly and generously to what You've called us to. It's in the name of Jesus. Amen.